Vrindavan Mahimamrita Ki Jai. 1363. This is the category of Braj Bhajan, means Raghunuga Bhakti. And these are various ideas and conceptions and practices that are not exactly anukulya strictly for Raghunuga Bhakti, although many of them in themselves are necessary, required, and recommended. But in his intense fanaticism to preach Braja Bhav and Braja Bhakti and Gopika Bhakti, then he's repeatedly reminding us not to get waylaid or distracted by anything less than the topmost practice of Raghunuga Bhajan in the mood of the gopis of Vrindavan. This is text 1363, continuing in the category of give up Hari Bhajan, give up Vaidhi Sadhana and desire to attain Vaikuntha. Simply do Rag Marg, practice Raghunuga Bhakti, says Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur. Not myself. Krishna says you're a muda in the Bhagavad Gita, and I'm simply repeating it. So, you're a muda. Kvaso bhakti kvanasakti kvatma jnanam kvanushtanam kala vyalagam yam ramyam Vrindaranyam Tvaika Danyam Gamyam Ranyam Ranyam Danyam Gamyam Ramyam Ranyam Danyam. See, Ram Gam Yam Ram Yam Ran Yam Dan Yam. What's common to four? Yam. What's common to two? What's common to two? Un. Right? Gam yam, ram yam, ran yam, dan yam. So it's quite a lot of quas there also. Very beautiful Sanskrit. Where is that devotional service? Kwa bhakti, asakti. Kwa bhakti, kwa asakti. Where is that renunciation? Asakti. Where is the science of self-realization? Atmagyan. That means the science of self-realization. Atma-tattva-gyan, atma-gyan, atma-tattva. Where is the execution of religious principles? That's what anustan. Anustan means different practices in a particular brat or religion. Anustan. Anyway, wherever they are, I don't really know. But I can say this much. All glories to this Vrindavan, which is unapproachable by the snake of time. Vyalagam gamyam, gamanam means approachable. Kala means time. Vyala means snake. The snake of time cannot approach the Ramya kichadupasanam rajavadubir. Ramya means delightful, charming, beautiful, delectable and satisfying and fulfilling Vrindavan. Ramyam Vrindaranyam. For me, this is the one and only thing, the only wealth. I don't know about all this stuff. This is my danyam, ekadanyam. There's only ekadanyam. There's one wealth. Is that right? Danyam? There's one wealth, and it is, what is that ekadanyam? It's Ramyam Vrindaranyam. My one wealth is that delightful Vrindavan, that charming Leela Stali of Radha Govinda. I don't want to see anywhere else. I don't want to be anywhere else. I don't want to live anywhere else but Vrindavan. This is his bhav. This is his mood. This is his intense mood. Because after all, who is he? Tungavidya Saki. So Tungavidya can't even think of going to Mathura to buy some saman for her kutir. She can't even think about leaving Vrindavan. Because she, even though Krishna's in Vrindavan, what to speak of a couch or a pillow? See the intensity. So, of course, they have everything here, so they don't have to worry. So he's saying, I know that time doesn't come here. There's no time here. Let's see the other translation. It's a long way away here. Where is pure devotional service? Where is detachment from this world? Where is spiritual knowledge? Where is religion? The forest of Vrindavan, which cannot be touched by the black snake of time, is the only home of all these opulences. A little closer, a little different idea, and a little more honed down to the unified presentation or idea in the author's mind, I believe. He's saying, let's break it down. He says, where is bhakti? It's only here in Vrindavan. Where is detachment from the world? It's only here in Vrindavan. Vrindavan asakti, being attached to Vrindavan. Where is real knowledge of the self? Here in Vrindavan, where you realize you're Siddhadeya. And where is religion? And where is the ultimate practices and principles and details of religion? Anusthanam? Only here in Vrindavan. That's all I know. And if one's living in Vrindavan, engaged in these activities, then he becomes timeless. Time cannot swallow him. He's not swallowed by the snake of time. The black snake of time can never swallow him because he's living in time eternal Vrindavan, and he'll leave this body to continue to live in time eternal Vrindavan, Nitya Vrindavan. Nitya Vrindavan Vihara. This is what he's saying more clearly in our second translation. Where are all these things? Okay, you can do bhakti outside, you can follow anusthan, you can try to be detached, but all I know is that all those wealths, all those valuable opulences and attainments and desirable pursuits are simply available and here in Vrindavan, and it's not just a place, it's a delightful place, it's a ramyam. And it's a place of ramyopasanam. It's ramyam Vrindavan and ramya. We have kamyavan. Kamyavan. Now it's called kamvan. It's called kamyavan. The word kamya and ramya are very similar. Kamya means delightful. Kamya, ramya. Ramya, kamya means delightful, satisfying, most fulfilling the inner regions of the heart. This is kamya. So that kamyavan, in some kalpas, that's Nanda Maharaj's ancestral home. What we call Nandagram, the center vortex of Krishna's Leelas, and this home of Vrindavan actually is in Kamyavan, another kalpas. And then Radharani lives somewhere nearby there. I forget the name of the village. So it's a little slightly adjustment of configuration. So even during his present Bhoma Vrindavan Leela, Nanda Baba spent some time there also. Some relatives are there. And he lived there for some time worshipping Kameshwar Mahadev to attain a son, which he did when he went to Gokul. So he was in Nandagram, and then he was, I believe, in Gokul, and then he went to, for a short time, then he went to Kamyavan, then he went to Gokul, then he went to Chatikar, then he went to Nandagram, as far as I can understand. But definitely during the previous Bhoma Vrindavan Leela, he spent time there. And Krishna, of course, had his pastimes in all these places. He wasn't camping out there by himself in Kamyavan. That's a long way to walk from Nandagram. Although he can also do that. But that's generally the understanding. Even they show you remnants of Nandaraja's palace. Some people say it's King Agrasen's palace. So there's another verse here. We have a few minutes. This is, and let's mark this one so we don't get that one again. Now, this is 1642.
Vindana satatam kim etad akilam koham ka ishon viti. Chindana sarupasanach churikaya du sneha pashandridham. Rundana satatam karindriyaganam. Vindanavapyam param Brindaranya nishevayeva susake kim dana yagadike.
Nice Sanskrit.
My dear friend, what are these visible objects? Who am I? Who is God? Well, considering all these questions, you should cut the strong ropes, the ropes of strong affection, with the knife of proper worship of the Supreme Lord. Always control your dull material senses and attain the most rare treasure of love of God by serving Sri Vrindavan. There is no need to perform any sacrifice or give any charity. Obviously, this is an extremely long verse. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 40 words in this verse. And very complicated and difficult words with myriad of meanings. And somehow the translator has produced this meaning. Let us venture to look at another translation, which sometimes I think is by the same translator, but I'm not sure. It's not clear who this other... This is one we just read as Kushakrata Prabhu, slightly edited by Purnapragya. Now this one is a little bit anonymous, who this one is. But it seems also to be Kushakrata's. Maybe it's an re-edited version, I don't know. Friend. It's 42. Friend, what would it matter if I knew everything? Who I am? Who am I? What can I do? If with the knife of worshipping Krishna, what is the Sanskrit for that? Oh, churikaya. Upasana. Upasana churikaya. Churikaya means knife. That's amazing. Sarupasana. Sarupasana means God worship. There's Deva Upasana, Pancha Upasana, and Sarupasana. Sarupasana means worshipping that which is eternal. With what? Churika. Churika means knife. Churikaya. Churikaya. Do sneha pasham dridam. Where is it? With the knife of worshipping Krishna, I can cut the tight ropes of material love. Dui sneha pasham dridam. Pash means rope. Dridam means strong. So maybe churikaya. Chindana probably means knife, and churikaya means cut. Do sneha pasham dridam. Pasham, that's like Krishna has that pash, nagapash, that rope, you know, he has that nagapash. That very strong rope of affection, I can cut it with it by worshipping Krishna. I can cut the tight rope of material life. And if by serving Vrindavan, I can subdue the wicked senses, then what need have I got? What need do I have for giving charity, performing yajnas, and doing anything else? So he's saying that all I have to do is worship Krishna and Vrindavan and serve Brajabhumi, Padasevanam, Vrindavan Seva. Then everything will be accomplished. I don't need to do dan, yajna, tap, anything. Of course, that itself is not easy to do. But that's what he's saying here in this verse. So this is why I'm saying that Vrindavan Bhajan doesn't require Vaidhi Bhakti or any kind of rules, regulations, yajna. Of course, we couch our practices with various yamas and niyamas because that's where duty bound. Because the main, irregardless of how one lives in Vrindavan, how he lives or where he lives, he can only live there by Guru's grace. And part of receiving and maintaining the flow of Guru's grace is to follow his orders and instructions, which include various yamas and niyamas and various rules and regulations. If he strips us of the bindings of rules and regulations, then that will be his prerogative, not ours. Not our free will, but his. He may say, okay, now you're avadut. Let it all hang out. But generally we don't find that to be there. That they may say different things, now take sannyas, now here's Siddha Pranali. They may, in different ways, engage their disciples in more refined and focused practices of bhajan. Nevertheless, there will always be some parameters of yamas and niyamas, as much as I can see. In fact, I often see that what I consider to be some of the most advanced devotees in Vrindavan to be rather tightly following lots of rules and regulations regarding hygiene, cleanliness, punctuality, rites and rituals, fasts and vratas, pujas and prakramas. They seem to be steadfastly attached and rigorously executing so many of these functions, even though they're purported to be Siddha Mahatmas or Niskinshan liberated souls in Vrindavan. Maybe you had the chance or occasion to meet some of them. It doesn't appear to be much leeway for letting your hair hang down in Vrindavan, so to speak. And moreover, it's their way of life. As an example to others, which is the primary reason, and to as an offering to the Lord, they choose to live like that. Gaudiya Vaishnavas, as a group, are a very structured group of sadhus and a very controlled group, the actual proper followers. Of course, there's lots of what they call apasampradayas in the Gaudiya fold. But the mainstream of Gaudiya Vaishnavas, be they grihasthas, brahmacharis or renunciates or bhavajis, they're quite formal in their practice and quite restrained in their behavior and following many yamas and niyamas. Whereas sadhus and followers of other traditions and sampradayas, there are many types of unusual personalities there. Unusual dress, unusual behavior, and Vaishnavara Kriya Mudra applies over here. You can't understand their actions or dealings, or what they do or how they do. So when it comes to avadhuts and sadhus and sannyasis and devotees in general, we'd rather be careful. And the old adage says, better safe than sorry. So we'll continue there tomorrow.